But I never tell you the truth. If that's that what it do, if that's that what it do. Say I love you, but I'm never hoping to pass. Cause that's your motive, as if I can see your heart through your chest. I say I love you, but I'm not willing to talk. I'm not willing to fight, cause you do this. I'd rather not see your face or hear your voice anywhere. I say I love you for sure, my actions say I don't care. If I love you, wouldn't I be more willing to overlook wrong things that you've done? Instead of finding it a habit, I make a list of everything I just can't stand about you. Never thinking of your feelings, the way I love you makes Jesus look unappealing. But I say that I love you, I say that I love you. It wasn't really love, 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 love. It wasn't really love, 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 love. Yeah.
What is love?
Yeah, it's easy to be a nice piece, throwing more with niceness. Doing things for my own glory is enticing. It's inviting, it makes me look good. It gives me praises from the people, got me flying like an eagle. That's the mindset of my heart before my surgery. Now I got new eyes, my old logic deserted me. Yeah, I know the God who in his kindness prepared himself to take my death, although I walked in blindness. Yeah, you mean I never could deserve them? Nah, there's nothing I can do to earn them? Nah, I still see myself as love, and let the grace you show me be a witness to all others, to my sisters and my brothers, to a stranger on a corner, to my best friends and my enemy. I learned to love and others in humility. He's leading me. I have searched within myself to find the energy to love unselfishly. That was then, this is now. Jesus put me on the truth and showed me how to get down. And honestly, I'm really needing you around. I don't wanna make it work if only you were still allowed. Love is patient, I'm willing to wait for you. It's not arrogant, how can I pray for you? Is there something that was heavy on your mind? I'm a little far behind, but I would love to give you my time to listen. Is there anything you need? If I have it, I can share it, cause this life is not for me. I know before I didn't really care, but now my business become pretty clear. Will you forgive me for how I have hurt you? Will you forgive me for how I have hurt you? Because I really wanna love, 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 love. Really wanna love, love.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, hallelujah. Welcome to another exciting training day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall be glad, hallelujah, because we don't have many more. We're going to have more training days, but we won't have to do it in this type of flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Lord God, Jehovah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And his son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. And my producer, amen, Pastor O, also known as Gerald Overall, and his lovely wife, Sheila, and Runner for Christ Ministry. Amen, and all the Harvest Ministry, if I don't get that correct, just pray for me, amen, hallelujah. And I mean, it's a blessing to meet people, amen, hallelujah, Metro City. I just thank you. I tell you, saints, it's a blessing to reach out to people because you don't know what you have that they might need. Never let Satan convince you that you are insignificant. You know, if anybody has ever hit their baby toe, they know how important that baby toe is, because the whole body starts hobbling after that. Don't let nobody tell you you ain't nothing. Trust me, if you ever get a sore on the baby toe, you're going to hobble. The whole body hobbles. So everybody is important in Christ. Amen. I just thank God for this blessed day. You know, hallelujah. We're going to continue in on this subject of power and love, which is really another way of expressing of what this life is about according to the word of God. So let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you for this opportunity to come before your throne. It is a great privilege and an honor to do so. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, for purchasing this opportunity, for enduring the cross. Amen. That we might receive the salvation that we so badly need. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for the revelation of that need. And we thank you for Jesus, for sending back the Holy Spirit, as you said, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to teach us. Right now, we're asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding more, that we will better understand what is your hope, the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you would strengthen us with might in our inner man. Continue to bless us to have a full understanding of how your love of Christ operates. Amen. The length, the width, the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of Christ would pass us all understanding. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and courage to carry it out so we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Forgive me for that. It's just being challenged as a human. Amen. Amen. So let's do a basic review. Last week, we talked about another form. We're talking about the fact that the word power, in Greek, in the New Testament, is not always the same, even though it expresses having authority over the challenges that are presented to us. This lends to the reality that God let Satan exist for that purpose. Had Satan waited on God to assign him that responsibility, he wouldn't be destined for hell. But that's too late. Can't change that now. It which tells us something, that you wait on God, okay? There's a time and a place. And the reason for that is that we as individuals have to learn the way of God. We're going to spend eternity with God. And it's not a democratic situation. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. You don't get to vote. You get to choose whether to participate in it or not. And your alternative is not pleasant at all. If you want to read about it, it's in the book of Revelation chapter 20 toward the end. You'll see it as clear and explainable. It's an eternal process. You come from God. I don't. You can believe what some scientists and some A-head professor tell you, but you will find out they are wrong. You come from God, which means you are an eternal being. Now, if we are, as has been disputed, God-class beings, spelled, always spelled, in our case, with a small g, okay, meaning a person of authority, of rulership. This is what you get when you analyze Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and it says, let us give them dominion. Okay, we have dominion over the earth. We lost it through Adam's sin. But for those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ have regained our personal authority, and therefore Satan does not have power over us. He can no longer command us as he wills. But in most cases, even in the cases of those who are not saved, he doesn't command them. They just follow him. He tricks them into thinking that their way is as good as any way. He the one that come up with this democratic process. You look through the Bible, there was no voting on who was going to lead the nation. That they just fell in succession. What God was expecting was that those following, those under the king, would be approaching God to bring about a change in the direction of the leadership when the leadership was not going in the same way. Now, God expected this despite the fact that unlike us Christians, they did not have the Holy Spirit inside them, but they had access through the priesthood. They had access themselves to God. One noted prayer is an appeal by a woman named Hannah who appealed to God to have a child who gave birth to the son named Samuel, who was one of the most noted prophets in the Bible, and they even named two books after him. He's mentioned throughout history, but that tells you that they had access to God. That's one of them. There have been other instances, okay? So, again, this is about us developing a mindset where what God thinks is what we think. You know, one of the things noted about Jesus is he only said what the Father said. And there's never a disagreement between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the uniqueness in us is that we aren't that way. Even though we don't operate 100% in the fullness of the Spirit, it's evident by the fact that Christians can go to hell, that we don't have an excuse or we don't have that option. And anyway, God's plan is better. Trust me, his way is better. His way gives consideration to the impact of decisions and how it not only impacts us or benefit us, but the impact on others. And that's a key factor because when you look at Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, where Jesus tells his people, his disciples, he sums up the entire Bible in the fact that he said you are to love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul and spirit. That means everything you got and everything that you can learn to help you do that, that's what you need to do, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then you get a challenging neighbor that moves next door to you. But that's what this life is about. You can't know the authority and the power you've been given without it being challenged. You know, I was in a discussion, well, kind of discussion today. Somebody had mentioned about arguments, and they were talking about relationship, which I only think in terms of marriage, but they do happen in relationships. Now, in this world, because God has been kind of ruled out, people are trying to do a God thing without God, okay? The Bible is the only book on the planet with the rules for marriage. It's amazing that other countries and other religions, totally different religion, non-Christian religion, they agree with marriage and they agree with the precepts, but their books don't have the fact that their God gave them those laws, rules of how to behave and how to conduct a relationship and how to interact, because it serves a dual purpose. One, marriage brings about the kingdom of God. There is no kingdom of God without children. There couldn't be. If Adam had been gay and not had sex with Eve, we wouldn't be here. God would have no kingdom of his own like kind. He had angels before us, but angels don't come through a woman's womb. They're spoken into existence, and that's it. They're there. And they don't experience what we experience. They never had to grow through the process of being a child and grew up into an adult. They don't know. They've never had negative effects of cold and heat. The things that we go through, hunger and pain, they haven't had those experiences. You know, except a few that have probably been to war, but even then, they probably self-healed, you know. I ain't never heard of an angel hospital or a doctor, you know. They go directly to the throne of God, and that ends that, which is what you should do when you get hit, when you get sick. Make your way to the throne. I'm telling you, try that sometime. Just spend some time while you're in pain praising God. Watch what happens when you connect with the throne of God. See, again, that's just another access to what? Power. Okay? We started out talking about dunamis power. That's that miraculous power. Now, I get it that people are challenged with the fact that God has this this tremendous power, and yet, again, we have this life that seemingly seems as though it's not as much power as it really is. But again, you know, I can drive a race car, you know, up to a certain point, certain power level, I'll put it like that. You put me in a top fuel dragster, no, that's a training process I would have to go through. I don't have that level of experience because things happen so quickly, much more quickly than they do at my level. And this is what God is trying to help us understand. Now, I refer that to Romans 1:20. But you know what? Before I go there, I'm gonna stick there. I'm gonna go there. Let's go to Romans 1:20, and let's see if we can get it up here on this screen. You know, I'm due for a new computer. That's something how they got this thing set up. You can only get so many times. Ain't no infinite computers. I'm going to be reading from the King James, the original. Well, now, you know what? I'm going to read from the New King James and see if it says it stays within the parameters of the reality of what Paul was talking about. Those are things that I look at when you're familiar with the Bible. So, see, new people might not notice the change, but us old folk, we notice. I notice everything. And a change of a word can change the definition or the intent. And that's the thing you don't want the content to change, the context to change. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, I don't know why I'm struggling with that, I use that word a lot, attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They did a good job on that. But you ought to read what goes on behind that, because that chapter right there tells you that these super intelligent people, see, God gave, it says in Romans chapter 12, that God gave every man a measure of faith. Now, it's up to you how much that faith grows, okay? Because, again, I learned a new term doing, we just had the Bible calls a convocation. So if you know what a national or international convention is, it's based on the word convocation, which is found, I believe, in the book of Deuteronomy. You know, if it wasn't a Bible, it'd tell you. Anyway, so this is the deal here. What this scripture is saying, you can look at various things of life, various aspects of life, and get a picture of God's invisible world, because it's much, much to understand. The more I learn, the more I find out, I don't know anything. You know, today I was reading we friendly, I'll put it like that. A brother at the church is a neurosurgeon. And what he has to know in order to be a neurosurgeon, so I can kind of understand what he's teaching, I've been reading up on cells. You know, for somebody to think that this life is an accident, you know, I understand why God told me that an atheist is a person who chose to step into a spiritual abyss. That God didn't order them, the devil didn't push him. He might have psyched them out into it. You know, he gave them some propaganda and they bought into it. But, okay, so bottom line is when we are talking about power. So when you look at different aspects of the use of power, particularly dunamis, which you get the term dynamite, it's an explosive power, but it's, think of it as an overthrow of Satan's kingdom. When you see what is known as creative miracles, like a man that never walked from birth in the Bible. And then I've seen creative miracles. I was at a church, the man of God, some of you might know, and he was praying, and you got to watch one leg grow, you know, watch it even out. I mean, myself, I experienced, I guess you would call it a creative miracle, walked into church one night, a 10-year drug addict, and walked out clean. I didn't even ask for it. All I was doing was praising God, and he blew my mind. He gave me more than I asked for. I haven't smoked cigarettes since either. Cigarettes, also known as killerettes, you know, the thing about them is they was back then, they was legal. They still legal now, but marijuana wasn't, and all the other stuff I was snorting and smoking wasn't, still ain't legal today, too. I think they're going to change that. But anyway, so again, but to deal with what challenges that are coming, that's what this particular segment of the program is to alert you to the fact that you need to let God educate you on utilizing the power that he has given you. Because they are planning, I keep hearing, they're planning, and I know from the Bible that they're planning another super chaotic event. Because the goal is to bring the world to a place where Satan can kind of get a grip and control most of it. He's never going to be able to control it all. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent, and he's not omnipotent. So he's not going to control it all. He's going to have a whole lot of factions against him. I guarantee you that. Because one thing you'll see reading the Old Testament, if the man will rebel against God, then, you know, Satan ain't no match. He ain't no different. Even though he may react more violently than God will, because he does, patience ain't part of his profile, it's going to happen. And you can see it coming. They're reaching for control. For those of you that don't know, the United States government is working on eliminating cash money. That's for the purpose of control. That's going to impact the church because of all the things that they're going to try to get sown into a law, calling Christian. And some Christians operate in ignorance and think they're exalting God. Listen. You exalt God at his throne. You know what? I would never waste my time going to protest. Now, if I had kids in school, I would approach the school board, but I would not go to a gay celebration or event where they partying, doing their gay thing, and start preaching. I wouldn't do that. I really wouldn't. Because why? Because you're not going to change them. You're going to create opposition. And you know, the Solomon said that a person offended is harder won than a fortified city. Matter of fact, just today, while I went out for a couple of hours for Uber, and what did I pick up? I picked up a gay person. But I am more reliant on my prayer and appeal to God, because that's how I got saved. Nobody bashed me about my drug use. Didn't nobody bash me about my whoremongering and everything else I was doing, stealing and all the conniving that was going on. They were quietly, without my knowing, praying, and God was busy with angels directing, sending people across my path. Then he that allowed him to minister to me, because ain't no way I'd have went to that church knowing what was going to happen. But I did, and it did. So this is how, see, this is the problem. See, you got to be careful about what you think is of God. See, that's how where that at in the Bible? You show me protesting in the Bible. I could be wrong. show it to me in there. Show me Paul marching, Peter marching and all that. I saw a whole lot of prayer. I saw Peter protesting, amen, and many people getting healed. Where that at? What? Why didn't they lay hands on them and deliver them from that spirit? You're dealing with demon activity, and if you're outnumbered by the demons, see, we still talking about power, and you're going to be ineffective, and all he did was get arrested. That don't impress God. I know it may seem like it do. It impressed the people that sacrificed, but that's because they have limited knowledge. I would like to ask him one question. How much time he spend praying for? How many days? How many hours? See, I would move, because then you operate in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. When I minister to people, I can tell if God has already blessed them, because then they're open. When I encounter resistance, that doesn't mean they need more prayer. See, we are the royal priesthood. Now, I see the Holy Spirit is just going a whole different way than where these notes here, but actually, this is what it's all about. We're right now what we are supposed to be doing. See, I belong to a praying church. We have been taught every kind of way there is to pray. What is praying? Who besides the body of Christ, blood bought, spirit filled, Bible bred believers have access to the throne of God? Who would even go? Okay. Everybody else thinks they're all right. No, they ain't all right. If they were all right, the Bible wouldn't say they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. But God didn't put it in there, pick on them. Because he even said, the word said, such were some of you. I was everything in that list but homosexual. You go look at that list of 1 Corinthians, and man, he was all that, yeah. Because sinner sinned, and I was a sinner, and I was sinning. I was having fun at it. At least I thought I was anyway. But what God did was took my attitude and put it in the right direction. Gave me 180 degrees. Now I pursue him. I'm still on the same pursuit, you know? You know what? See, that's why I reach out. Uber for me is an outreach. It is not, definitely not the best way to make money. At least, I mean, it definitely ain't. It really ain't. I mean, it costs. But God is paying for it. God approve of it. That's all that matters, because he approve of it. Man, I'm telling you, he do. And then, see, and I have to become more aware, because people are searching. Listen, people ain't go to the church has got a bad reputation for a lot of reasons, okay? So a lot of people are not going there. And until we who have the knowledge express to them why they need to go, but not just tell them to go to church, can you, as Peter said, give every man a reason of the hope that lieth in you? Can you explain it to him? Can you even lead a person to Christ? It's a simple process. And it's sad people can't pray. Something wrong. If you've been a Christian, I'm going to give you, you've been a Christian a year. See, you need prayer is one of the most formidable forms of power on the planet. Satan has tried to diminish that. Why? Because you have he's created these organizations. The church is an organism. He's created organizations that are ineffective in prayer. They have a little ritualistic prayer that they say, like they're getting points in heaven. Ain't no points charged in the kingdom of God, okay? The Bible commands us to pray. All right, so we talked about dunamis power. That's overthrowing, that's creative miracles. And then we talked about exousia. That gives us authority utilize the power of God in as kingdom citizens. Remember we read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, says our citizenship is in heaven. So that makes us ambassadors, and an ambassador carries the authority of their nation. And our nation is the kingdom of God in heaven, and we are representing God on earth. Have you heard that before? Let your will be done where? Uh-huh. How does that get done? Through the body of Christ. God set it up that way for the purpose of us learning his way. You got to think far beyond, too. Don't go out there in the universe. Think 10 million years from now, what you're going to be doing for the kingdom of God. Okay, that's what it's about. You're not earning a right to be in heaven. You can't earn that. Now, if you did everything, if you were the one and only, and you did all that could be, well, you wouldn't be doing nothing because it'd just be you. But, you know, it ain't no good you can do enough good for you to get 1,000 years in heaven, 1,000 days in heaven. You're talking a whole different dimension. The point of the matter is you got to keep in your mind that we are a spirit inside of a body. We have a mind, will, and emotion of which we have to learn to make it conform to the will of God, which is his word. The Bible is God saying, this is how I roll, and this is how you have to roll if you want to stay in my kingdom. And a lot of people haven't read it. So they just think they have the freedom to do as will and really going to be goofy enough to stand before him if they make it there. See, because lack of knowledge is how Satan get people. That's how they get destroyed. And get there and really think that they're going to tell him, well, I didn't know that. And then you got to answer, well, why didn't you read it? You could read. You read this. You're going to have a record of everything you read and learned. And don't, Lord, please don't be somebody up there with 4 or 5 degrees trying to tell God you didn't know this. And now I know people like that. Hey, man, I'm going to leave that alone. But the Bible recommends getting an education. Okay? I agree with that. I'll say that much. All right. So exousia was power of choice. Satan came, you know, a long time ago, it was a comedian named Flip Wilson, and he used that as phrase in one of his acts. Said, the devil made me do it. Now, but see, the devil can't make you do it. See? That's how that got around. And people bought into that. They started to use that. And people blame Satan for a lot of stuff, okay, but then they don't exercise authority. I know a lot of people think I'm way out there on the deep end. You know, when I see all this stuff happening in the earth, well, I have yet to get an email explaining to me according to the word. I realize there's judgment, okay? But, you know, judgment, and there are cases, I've been told that much. I know somebody with some authority told me of a certain part of the United States had been informed about their behavior, and it was ignored, and judgment came. That does happen. I ain't going to deny that reality. But in a lot of cases, it's simply a fact of lack of knowledge. They have authority. You know, I'm still learning. I am not satisfied with the fact that they turned my power off because they had to fix the neighborhood where nobody is apparently exercising authority. Their power is they go up in there and tear down their neighborhood, so I got to suffer. Well, kind of suffer because I got a backup generator, but I don't even want to do that. So I'm pursuing another line of prayer. I want to see how far I can take this because for new people, God is omniscient, okay, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, everywhere present. Man, however, is conipotent. He's limited in power because he gets what power he has from God. Cognition, because he only can go to the limits that God allow him with knowledge. And conipresent, he only has authority to the range that God allows. And being that we are in the last days, I think God is extending it. I'm going to find out. And if not, well, you know, I found out that if lightning hit a backup generator that you bought, that's not covered in the warranty, just an FYI there. So we need that, you know, that's one of the other things I've noticed. I was thinking, pondering, and listening the other day. A lot of this ignorance has come because more people now go to college, and there's a story behind that, because a lot of people go to college and don't need to. They can't tell me nothing that they went to college that prepared them for the job that they have. Now, something wrong with that picture. You know, an auto mechanic can't go to an art school and learn how to work on cars. He has to know how a car functions, and even more so these days. You know, now, granted, I know some people that did go to college. Like I said, I had a friend that's a neurosurgeon. They taught him, but if he'd have been in India, he would have went to medical school right out of high school rather than spend 6 years studying stuff when he knew what he wanted to do all along. He knew what he wanted to do when he was 12. So, I mean, that shouldn't happen in the United States. We're behind other countries, but that's the area we have to pray over. Everything wrong with the country, how the economy is going, how Congress is running, is simply the result of a lack of prayer. Man thinks he can solve everything himself. And what, you know what? When you get that way, God will step back and he'll say, okay, there's a cliff over there. I know it looks like there's a highway, but before you get over there, there's a cliff just over that horizon. And you keep going, that's where you're going off. And God will do that, okay? Listen, the flood didn't come overnight. They had 120 years of warning, okay? 100 years of warning. Now, however long Noah preached. So it didn't come when they wanted. We keep telling people the rapture coming. They're like, when? And I know the Bible said they're going to be calling us out. When? Y'all been saying that for the longest. Well, after we go, they're going to like, there you go. Well, we tried to tell you, and then as my brother, Pastor Gerald Overall, said, some things are epiphany words, you know, and he said, some of y'all will rapture before the rapture, so be ready. I mean, since this last broadcast, I mean, I know people that have passed on over. You know, passing over is not really a problem. Passing over without Jesus, that's a serious problem. All right, so now we finally get to today's segment, and we're just beginning this because I know the Holy Ghost is going to go back and crack open each and every one of these, and we're going to go through the Bible. We ain't got nothing but time, at least I don't, but, you know, we got time, because the point of this is for you to understand your nature. That's what this is about. This is training day, so you will know. You know, the Lord gave me something, but I want to read. We're going to go to Ephesians Chapter 6 and verse 10, a very familiar scripture. You know, I don't know about you, but every time I go to this particular steakhouse, almost every time I get the same 18-ounce steak. My wife just shakes her head whenever I do. You know, sometimes I eat the whole thing in one sitting, sometimes I don't. But it ain't like something I do every day, you know. It's like maybe once, twice in a 90-day period. That's something I do. I ain't that big on red meat anyway. You know, when I grew up, hot dogs was the primary. We ate tube steaks. So you young folks don't know what a hot dog is. That's a tube steak. And then the round steak, they call bologna. Anyway. Here's Paul talking to the Ephesians. Now, again, you're talking cultural change. So if you come to Christ, that's what you experience, a cultural change. You had a culture before you came, and now you have to change your culture in order to be able to access this power because you're now a member of the kingdom of God. And just as things are different in France, some things are different for the most part. We do things different here in America. I don't know. I ain't been to France yet. I really don't plan to go till Jesus come back. They're kind of clowning over there. But I do know that they have different laws. They drive on different sides of the roads, you know. I think we drive on the right side. They drive on the left side. And I think we drive on the right side, and they drive on the wrong side. But that's opinions, okay? I mean, it's different aspects. So when you're coming into the kingdom of God, you need to know how it operates. And the Bible is also your constitutional privileges. And the difference between our nation and God's nation is God has never changed. They're trying to change the Constitution. They're working at that hard to change it because Satan wants to be able to control you. I'm going to tell you, he really can't get a good grip on control while the church is on the earth. So the church, you know, there's a debate about whether or not we're going to leave before the Antichrist. Sure, I don't see us being on the planet at the same time because I have authority over the devil. That's what I'm talking about here. And that's particularly, that's what we're talking about here today, okay? It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? Now, that's the primary scripture. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Okay, so now, the power word there, I'm getting interference here, is kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S, that's in the Greek, and it is force, strength, power, might, great power, mighty deed, work of power, dominion. Again, just as I was saying, see, right now, that's the thing that we learned. Every now and then I run into somebody that we're on the same page, and I know we're a number, narrow number. You know, one of my favorite persons was, and still is, he's gone to heaven now, was Chuck Missler. He was a NASA scientist, and he would make you reach out. In other words, stretch out. You know, I mean, he would try to simplify things as much as he can, speaking on the molecular level, so that we'll understand. And really, you need to let your mind go out there. You know, I've sat into so much ministry. You need your imagination can be beneficial in allowing God to help you understand this world. And just as I was saying earlier with Romans 1:20, you know, one of the examples, when God highlighted that scripture first time for me, I was temporarily driving a bus. And I was going down Michigan Avenue in Detroit. And at that time, the Bell Building, Michigan Bell AT&T, had these towers, these beacons on top of it receiving signals. And God was explaining to me in using that scripture how that only the people that had that frequency level was picking up that information coming to and from those beacons. And that's how God communicated. This is, see, you know, I get people and they compassion, they tell people to call out to God, but without the Holy Spirit, God has limited access to them. It is the same as my cell phone pick up my signals. When my cell phone ring, unless you didn't hack into it, you don't pick up my signals, okay? So the point here is that unless you have the Holy Spirit, you don't have this power. You don't have authority over the devil. You know, when I watched, I haven't watched none in years, but, you know, when I watch them movies with the demon activity in, and I'll be sitting there wondering, I noticed this one that they really just had me rolling, laughing, because it was one of them Dracula movies. Do y'all know who Dracula is? I know I keep forgetting there's some young people listening, but Dracula was this guy that, I don't know, through this curse anyway, you know, he hung out at night. But bottom line was, Dracula was some demon-powered person, and he couldn't be killed, and he hated the cross. You know, whenever he showed up, if somebody showed a cross, he backed off, you know. And the only way you could kill him, you had to drive a stake through his heart, you know, while he was in his casket. He only came out at night, and he wasn't nowhere near a cross. But this one movie, this particular Dracula, this priest held up a cross, Dracula snatched it from his hand and broke it, and said, "You don't have no power." And I started laughing. I'm like, "You got that right. Listen, you can go to church all you want. Satan go to church. Okay, you can read the Bible all you want. Satan can read the Bible. He know it better than a lot of people. Remember, he quoted it to Jesus in Mark chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4. You know, so no, you have to ask Christ to come into your heart. That's the simple part. The simple part. That's what people neglect, the simple part. Well, I think I don't know if it's because they just haven't been taught. Or they really just, in some cases, they want to exalt themselves, give themselves credit for their salvation, but that ain't how this is designed. But anyway, you'll find out. Because if you have, see, fear should not dominate you. You might encounter it, but you should quickly overcome it. And see, in these are areas, see, God has released things to the level that I'm limited in what I can share with you. You know, I can access it, you know. I would suggest to you, believer, if you're committed and you spend time with God, ask him to expose you and explain to you the prayer of imprecation. I-M-P-R-E-C-A-T-I-O-N. Because that's a source of power that is seen in the Bible. Okay, I can tell you in 1 Kings chapter 17:1. Second Kings chapter 6, I believe 6:17, that might be that. Mark chapter 11, where Jesus cursed the fig tree, and then Acts chapter 13, okay? But see, you need to understand the criteria for using that. That is nuclear level power in the spirit realm, and it can be used. But you got to understand the God. But the point of the matter is, if we have access, just as Satan is kicking up more storms, God has given us more access to power. The problem is people try to be so religious that they don't have access to the power. They're not spending time in the Word. They're not spending time with God, because I did not learn this watching, being on Facebook all day long. I have a limit. I have 1 hour time of Facebook. That's maximum. That's it, done, through, you know, and that's it. Because why? God, I heard a preacher say, God don't like what is a multitasking. God wants your full attention. And this, you know, when I'm talking to God, I mean, this is how we do this. This is how we share these messages. We spend time with God listening. That's something people don't do a lot. Don't always have your radio on. God is not going to try to overtalk your radio unless it's an emergency, and you might not even hear him then. He might tell you to turn right here, and you're like, why? And you keep on driving. You get down there, all the traffic all backed up, and then you're like, okay, and you can't get off the road because now you jammed, and you can't get where you were trying to go because you didn't listen. And that is part of our training. That is part of our training, to listen to God, to be responsive to him. Now, see, one of the things that you have to do, this is something the Lord showed, you have to feed your spirit revelation knowledge of the Word. We all know that. Study to show yourself approved where? Unto God. Okay? Study. That's in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. Study takes some concentration. And the amazing thing to me, I remember early on, that's 40 years ago, when I would be reading the Bible and I would hear this other voice talking. And it was so deep, I would be looking. I'm like, man, what is this? I didn't know because I only knew, I knew a little bit, you know. And I fortunately was a little slow getting down around my grandfather, the late John E. Maddox. But, you know, the reason they late is because they're not coming to dinner until Jesus come back. They're going to be late for dinner. That's it. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Anyway, and he knew all this. Man, I tell you, that man was a walking treasure trove. The little time I had with him, I had no idea. He was a man. But you don't know that. You don't know. Because, see, again, when you're at that religious stage, you trying to balance out, like, how far do I have to live right, and how much sin can I enjoy without, you know, causing conflict, rather than seeking the deeper things of God. God is not a religion. He's a person, and I get it. When some people don't get training days, I do get it.
because you have to make a decision. When my pastor brings something I haven't heard again, it always knocks us off. And I noticed that if I'm correct, he generally introduced new thoughts. Now, he does not introduce a new thought, a new revelation, without every scripture in the Bible to back it up. But that's the whole point. See, his thing is always been, this is what a pastor's job is, to educate you, not just to teach you the Bible, but to teach you about the God in the Bible, to teach you how to access him, why you should access him, and make him a priority. People have a lot of priorities, and God isn't the one. And then they wonder when things go wrong, like, why they got, because that ain't his, God, listen, God is not responsible. He ain't promised, listen, your promise benefits, okay, are offered, they guarantee you in the Bible, in Psalm 103, but, you know, his number one priority is salvation of man. Anything outside of that is low priority. I don't care how important it is to you, okay? But you're supposed to study. Listen, we have the Bible. They didn't even have it when this was written. They had some of the Old Testament. And remember, when all this had written, they was recovering from being scattered after rebellion. Okay? Now, I know at least 500 years before Jesus, don't quote me to the day, right, it was only 430 years. Listen, that ain't the point. The point of the matter is that they were not in charge of their nation. They were subject to another nation. But the point of the matter is they didn't have the printing press. They didn't have all that we have. Everybody in the Bible never had a Bible, but they had to live according to the Bible because the word is in God. And thinking about that today, and I believe God wants me to share that. It's a common scripture, but some people debate it. And it's in John, St. John, in the Gospels, chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, capital G, and the Word was God, capital G. And he was in the beginning with God, capital G. And all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. That's what you see happening in Genesis chapter 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay? That's a powerful statement. See, this is the point of this, is that scripture is to highlight that we have to really, really dig and spend time with God to see the depth of what we are involved in. You can't skim over this because we're talking eternal. We're talking power. Listen, yeah, power beyond our imagination. You know, right now, if you took all the power, all the nuclear missiles at every nation on the planet and aimed them at any nation, you could not completely obliterate that nation. You can make a big mess. You can burn up. You can kill a lot of people. But you could not just totally blow the earth in half. Even though, you know, I'm not going to spoil that, but I did watch the movie Oppenheimer, and if you're in that time frame when you watch this, I gave it 5 stars. It's a good movie. If you look at it through, pray before you go watch the movie. Ask God for revelation. He is shaking in your seat, I'm telling you. Because I don't pay top dollar for movies unless my wife want to go. But for me to go, but it's about, that movie is about power, discovering the power. You, by yourself, as a spirit being, outside your body, have more power than all the nuclear arsenal. Comprehend that. Now, don't take my word for it. I want you to go before God and ask him, is it so? And he'll show you the word. It is so. And guess what he expects you to monitor that power with? Love. as he describes it. That's why we go through all these challenges, because the power level that we are at, and I really want you to ask God about it, because it will change how you see everything. You will be slow to speak. You will not just holler at, particularly at his children. You won't release every kind of word out of your mouth. You won't, listen, you will begin to speak against every disease. You will begin to exercise your authority. Listen, think about that. God knows these diseases exist. Satan put them out there. But listen, we have authority over them. You, what is it? We are here to train for eternity, okay? It says, when you feed your spirit revelation, knowledge of the word, you know what promises guarantee your success. That minimizes the shock effect of unexpected challenges. And we're going to end. We're going to pick up right there, okay? Because we're talking about something coming again. They're talking about, listen, I'm telling you, I've recently had an experience where somebody was ill, and I just reached over and laid hands on them, and they received it. God bless, healing came. You know, again, look for those opportunities. Now look for those. Somebody tell you they got a disease, just ask them, can you lay hands on them? You don't have to pray a long prayer. I even go so far, if you just got through arguing with your spouse, never knowingly engage in sin of any level, any type, when it comes to your knowledge that you were wrong, even in how you might have been right about why you argued, but you were wrong in doing it, okay? Because, you know, you can't change a person's mind, no matter how loud you holler. It's not going to change anything. I don't holler at my wife. I holler at God. I know. She'll tell you, I do not raise my voice at her, because one day God said, that's my daughter. And I, you know what, the tone that he said it, and I would have debated that, you know, but he said it. I mean, he said it. I'm like, that wasn't the devil. I know that tone. And she'll tell you, I won't, no matter what. And do we do things to get on each other's nerves? Oh, yes, we do. But that's his daughter, period, in the story. My personal opinion about everything else is irrelevant. But that's what he expects us to do. See, when you see, listen, people, that just look at how many gay, I ran into more gay people in the last month than I ever have in my previous 70 years. But then what? I carry the authority. When I pray for them, the love of God in my heart is what releases the power to deliver them. I might not see it just then. They can tell. They can tell because they feel comfortable in my presence. And see, they know, you don't know their story. I've talked with many of them. They were victims of rape. And then you got this other thing, man. I'm telling you, some other stuff that they're being attacked with. But what God is looking at, one thing, his people, called by his name, that's all he's looking at. He know what their condition is. He's given us authority and power to pray for them, and then he can minister to them. He know what to tell them. He know what to tell them. He know how to bring them around. We're hearing reports of people that became transgender and reversing it, and people that were gay getting delivered. You know, but that happens with prayer, with love. Amen. So we're going to cut off right there and pick this up again next week. I'm marking in my notes where we cut off. Because, amen, this is all about. This is what we're about. Everything you see on TV, pray about it. Put your prayer. Write it down and see what happens. You see the police looking for somebody. They don't have a suspect. Pray for God to give them the revelation. I specifically pray for God to send angels and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit anointing for the saved officers and angels. God can guide even God can use angels under our authority by our request, send angels to guide police that are even saved, and get information, connect them with the information they need, and watch them fast. Look how fast people get caught. We see all this is in our hands. He's given us power. We're gonna be on this. But that's what this is about. See, it ain't about, as they say, scripture to live by, and then there's scripture to quote. If you just quoting it, you ain't living by it. So, but anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. But anyway, to begin this journey, this may be the first time. Listen, you need to take this part serious. But it's simple. It's serious and simple. But it is very important. This changes everything. This is how you access their power. Just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe you are the true and the living God. And I believe the Bible is your word. And I believe that it is stated that all men are born in sin. But you didn't leave it like that. You sent your son to die to give every man the opportunity to be restored into fellowship with you. And I acknowledge that reality. And I say, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am born again, and I am restored. If you're backslidden, just tell God, I ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name, and he instantly restores you and forgets the past. Forgets the past. The only way you should discuss the past with God is if you want education on how to overcome a particular challenge. And every church is, that's why churches, most churches have ministers that have been trained to help you with that. They'll know whether or not you should talk and come in and have to sit down with the counselor. In most cases, it's a process. Everybody, it's a learning process. We all go through it, and it does not end. It won't even end when we get to the 1,000 years. When Jesus come back, we'll be learning at a different level. We'll have 100% use of our mind, but we'll be learning. It's an ongoing process. So, anyway, hallelujah. So just know this, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
About love sometimes, you know, love is tough. You have to roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty. It's not something that's always soft and easy.
There are days when love is a fight, no holds barred, tooth and claw. Compromise means losing a piece of dignity. Your territory must be defended.
When love hurts, it's like no other misfortune. Your heart on fire, torn, broken.
But love doesn't give up. It comforts, restores, gives dignity, freedom, heals with faith, erupts with commitment, compassion. About love sometimes.